الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده الصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وأصحابه كما أراد الحمد لله on this auspicious night, the night before the beautiful day of Eid, which is the day of Jumu'ah. Alhamdulillah, we completed 20 spari, 20 chapters of the Qur'an, 20 ajza of the Qur'an, and inshaAllah in the next week or so we'll be completing the entire Quran inshaAllah al-Aziz. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to remain steadfast during these remaining days and nights of Ramadan. A person asked me a few days ago that they were very stressed, they were very anxious, and whether there is any particular dua from the Quran and Sunnah that they can read. And I suppose this is part and parcel of human nature, that every single one of us, whether you're young and you're undergoing exams or interviews or various other things in your life, you can be quite stressed or anxious. Or for those people who are middle-aged and they have children, they're stressed because of so many other factors. And then when we get older, we also have other related illnesses with our health and with our body and mind that cause us to be sad and depressed in life. So this particular dua from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is a very, very comprehensive dua that covers eight things, eight emotions, eight feelings, eight aspects of the human nature, which inshaAllah al-Aziz can be solved by us reading this particular dua with sincerity and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for assistance. So if you are stressed, and if you are anxious, if you are sad, and if you are depressed, then this is definitely the dua that you should be memorizing and the dua that you should be reading on a regular basis. So Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to repeat this dua kathiran, like abundantly and excessively all the time, especially in the morning and especially in the evening. So this is also a dua that we should try to read abundantly as much as possible. And it's seeking refuge in eight things. Refuge in from anxiety, from sorrow, from weakness and laziness, from stinginess and cowardice, and from the burden of debts, and from being overpowered by men or overpowered by difficulties in life. And the dua goes as such, that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba Ikram to say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal hazan. And hazan can also be read as huzan, but in this particular narration it's hazan. Wal ajzi wal kasal wal jubni wal bukhl wa dala'id dayni wa ghalabatir rijal. So eight particular things mentioned in this hadith, which is translated as, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from anxiety, from sorrow, from weakness, and from laziness, from stinginess, and from cowardice, and the burden of debts, and from being overpowered by men. So we'll just go quickly through these eight particular points that are mentioned there in this particular dua. So, إِنِّي أَعُوذُبِكَ مِنَ الْهَمْ. Hum is a type of distress that affects the mind as well as the body. And hum is about the worry or the distress that you have in the future, whether you're going to pass or not the exam, whether you're going to get this job or interview, whether you'll be able to get this particular job, whether you'll get married, all of these financial or worldly matters or things that you may have worries and concerns and distress about. But hum is specifically about something that is in the future. So you're seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking Allah's protection, seeking Allah's guidance and protection from the worries and the distresses of the future. Because you don't know what's there around the corner for you. We can worry as much as possible, but it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can alleviate that worry and distress. So when you seek refuge in Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove that distress and that worry that you have regarding the future. So that's hum. And then hazan, that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned. And hazan is a sadness, which is also mentioned as huzan. It's a sadness that takes place, or that has took place rather, in the past. So something or someone that was dear to you, so perhaps a family member, a friend, somebody that you lost in the past, or perhaps you lost a job or somebody that you loved very dearly, and you're constantly remembering and thinking about this. And this is where depression comes about as well, where you're constantly stuck in the past and you can't actually get out of that particular sad state of mind or emotional being. So you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again for the protection of all of the things in the future, and here for hazan and huzn, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection of all of the things that took place in the past. As human beings, we can't control what is in our naseeb, what is in the future. And neither can we change what has passed. But we can seek refuge and assistance and strength from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the two things, ham and hazan. And it's very rampant in our community, especially the Asian community. They're always worried about kiyosi, kiyosi, kiyosi. But you do your best and don't worry, and you leave everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, things that have passed us by, don't go over them again and again, because it's not healthy for you. And this is a very important point I want to share at this time, is that if you reflect on a fawdgi, when somebody passes away, yes, how many days are we allowed to mourn that individual? In the Sharia, it's very explicit, only 3 days. Only 3 days of mourning, whether it is your mother, whether it is your father, whether it is your wife, whether it is your children, your grandparents, whoever it may be. After 3 days, what are you commanded by the Sharia and by the Prophet ﷺ? Get up, leave your home, and get on with your life. You can't be in this vicious cycle of loss and suffering and sadness and stress. You have to get up and you have to move on with your life. So there's no such real thing in the Islamic Sharia as daswa and, you know, pandrawa and chaliswa and stuff like that. It doesn't really exist in the Sharia. What is there? 3 days of mourning. In 3 days of mourning, the family who have suffered a loss, they didn't cook or anything, and the community and other friends, they cook for them. And then they mourn for that individual for 3 days. But after 3 days, they have to move on with their life. Because Islam doesn't want you to go in this vicious cycle of being stuck in the past. So don't be stuck in the future and neither be stuck in the past. So you're asking Allah Ta'ala for protection in ham and protection in hazan. And then the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Wasallam mentions wal ajz. Ajz is a very important thing for us to understand. Which means to become weak or have a lack of strength when you are incapable. So you want to do things, but are incapable of doing things. So this is what you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have the intention, you have the niyyah, you have the irada, you have the conviction to do things, but you do not want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Him to take away your ability to do that thing. So you want to do hajj, but you don't want to become so ajiz that you are, for example, you no longer have functioning feet, or you have so bad health that you are unable to perform the hajj, or so many various other illnesses. So you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from all forms of disability, from all forms of incapability, which prevents you from carrying out your religious duties as well as your social duties as well. So some people have that irada, but they are unable to actually achieve those things in life. So this is what you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, the strength and the capability to do things in your life, and not for you to be incapable or for you to be disabled in that sense. And then the next thing, which is part of this, wal ajz wal kasr. And you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not make you from those people who are lazy. Now we just need to look at our youth, you know, especially during the holidays. They sleep at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning after playing PlayStation all night. Or they'll read 8 Tarawehs and they'll be off all night. And then when do they wake up? They'll wake up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. Even my own students, you know, during the summer holidays, you tell them to come, and like, what time did you wake up? Sadiya, I woke up at 3 o'clock, you know. So Fajr's gone, Zuhr's gone, and you just woke up at 3 o'clock to have breakfast. This is being extremely lazy. So lazy and sluggish. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from this type of things, that you don't actually want to do things. So the first one is you want to do things, but you are incapable, which is ajz. And here kasal is that you don't want to do things even though you are capable of doing them. So you are capable of praying salah, you are capable of praying 20 raka'at, you are capable of doing all of your fara'id of your deen and doing so much more, but because you are so lazy, so dhilla, that you never actually end up doing any of those things. You know, look at our children, you'll see their clothes in their rooms there for the whole week. They're so lazy, they can't be bothered to pick up their clothes from the floor. They can't be bothered to take their plates to the sink because they are so lazy in their nature. And this is a very detrimental trait to have in a person's life. So always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from incapacity and disability, and also protect you from being so lazy that you don't end up doing that actual thing, even though you are capable of doing that thing. And then the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam mentions wal jubn wal bukhl, and this is about cowardice, jubn, that being afraid and being a coward in front of other people. Islam is a strong religion. Islam teaches us to be strong, to speak up for haqq, to speak up for the truth, and to stand firm, no matter who may be in front of us, whether our own parents or anybody else, stand firm for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, in this particular dua, we're asking Allah ta'ala for courage to overcome our fears, the fear of hesitating to do things, and the fear of having a weak heart, or just fear of expressing our own feelings. You have a voice, you have an ability, you have a gift, you should stand up and not be a coward in front of people, whether it is a politician, whether it is a person of power, person of fame, or person of money, etc., whoever it may be. Always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the strength to say what is right and to do what is right and not be a coward. This is a very important thing. You see our children these days, they're, you know, coward borderlines to shyness. They're so shy that they never ever want to actually do anything. And bukhl, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, to be stingy. And to be stingy is an actual disease of the heart. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard has also mentioned that stinginess and iman, they cannot be in the same heart. Because iman dictates that you give freely and openly in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You give sadaqat and khairat. Iman dictates that you help people, you assist people, you do everything that you can. Whereas bukhl, which is bakhil, and to be stingy, is the opposite of being obviously generous and being kareem and being sakhi. This is what the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that you should be constantly spending in the way of Allah azza wa jalla, spending in the way of deen of Islam, and not being a bukhl, so stingy that you don't even spend on yourself. You don't spend on your family members or your children or anybody else, let alone the deen. So you're asking Allah for the strength and the courage to do and say that is right, and also for you not to be stingy, but rather to be generous and give openly in the way of Allah azza wa jalla. And then وَغَلَبَتِ الدَّيْنِ. And this is another important thing, which is, sorry, وَضَلَعِ الدَّيْنِ. What most of us are a part of this, that we are under a huge amount of debt. And that is an extremely huge weight that always plays on our mind. How are we going to pay this particular month's mortgage, or this particular gist, etc., and all of these other things, or whether you're paying committees and other things in life. And debt is one of those things that can make you even more sad and depressed. So you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to never allow that debt to overcome your state of mind and for your well-being, but rather for you to work and give your debt back as much as possible. And وَغَالَبَتِ وَضَلَعِ الدِّينِ وَكَهْرَ الرِّجَالِ. And then for you to be overpowered by men, whether that is people who are surrounding you and abusing you or mistreating you or oppressing you, or whether it is the debt collectors coming to you and the creditors constantly on your back. So you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection in all of these eight things, which is a very comprehensive dua, because it covers all of the facets of human nature, whether you're worried about the future, whether you're worried about the past, whether you're a coward, whether you're incapable and you want to do something, or whether you are lazy, or whether you are a bakhil, or whether you are a coward, or whether you are stingy. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the strength and the power to overcome all of these things, to overcome your debts, and also to overcome people and their oppression and their force upon you in life, and for you to seek the power and might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah azza wa jal protect us, strengthen us, empower us, and enable us all to pay back our debts to the best of our abilities, and always stand firm and stand strong for the truth of deen of Islam and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.